Thank you. We're joined, as usual, by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
Maureen Moakley is away this week. Filling in for her is a digital reporter for WPRI-TV, Channel 12, Dan McGowan. Thanks for joining us, Dan.
Thanks for having me. Good morning.
And we're pleased to welcome our special guest, State Representative J. Patrick O'Neill, Democrat of Pawtucket. Thanks for joining us, Rep.
Great. Thank you for having me today.
Well, the big news this week, obviously, is that independent Governor Lincoln Chafee has rocked Rhode Island's political landscape by joining the Democratic Party. Let's go to Scott. Who do you see as the winners and losers in this situation?
Well, it's hard to tell, but it looks initially like this makes the climb of Angel Taveras, the Providence mayor, to get to the State House a little bit steeper. I think that's a problem. I think it helps Cranston Mayor Alan Fung if the Democratic primary turns into a real Donnybrook and there's bruised feelings all over the place. We have September primaries, and that's one of the problems structurally in this state is the general election is just 6 or 7 weeks after the primary. You have very little time to kiss and make up and raise more money. So if there's blood all over the floor, historically, this has helped the Republican candidate. But it was a bold move, and I think sometimes in politics, it's better to have everybody reacting to you than you reacting to everybody else.
Representative O'Neill, you're a former member of Speaker Fox's leadership team, now more of a dissident. Who do you like among the Democratic candidates for governor, and how do you see the impact of the governor's change?
I will say that it's like Christmas morning in the political fields. It's quite a day to get that news and to hear that the governor was joining the Democratic Party. It's way too early to say who would be the front runner. I have a good working relationship with the governor. I welcome to the Democratic Party. It's going to be quite an 18-month stretch. And I'd have to agree with Scott that this kind of hurts the mayor of Providence's chances at this point. But I'm not counting anybody out at this point.
Dan McGowan, what's your analysis of the winners and losers of Chafee's decision?
Well, I think Scott's exactly right. I think the person that woke up this morning and feels maybe better about his candidacy than anybody is Alan Fung, who the Cranston mayor, who looks like he's going to have a pretty free shot through a primary. He'll wake up after that ugly September primary, no matter who's in it, whether it's Taveras, Raimondo, and Chafee, whether one of those back out. And he's going to be looking pretty good heading into a November election. He's going to have plenty of money. I think he's going to be able to frame his message. He's going to be able to travel around the state with a positive message while everybody else goes negative. I think he wakes up happy today.
Debate continues over the future of the State Economic Development Corporation. The House leadership is moving forward with some bills to restructure the EDC as a commerce corporation. Governor Chafee has supported preserving the EDC's current approach. Representative O'Neill, you've had your own initiative on this. What do you think the best way forward is for economic development in Rhode Island?
The word that comes to mind and the word that seems to be on everyone's palate is a lack of coordination. I think that seems to be something that business leaders and constituents are reaching out to us in the Assembly, that there is a lack of coordination between departments. The House's proposal to create a new Commerce Secretary, I am opposed to when it initially came out. I'm still most likely going to be opposed to it, even though the bill from Chairman Mello was amended for a full floor House vote next week. I am just against creating a new level of bureaucracy, which I see the Commerce Secretary doing. I think there is a need to have someone who can coordinate all these agencies, report directly to the governor. I see this as simply a new position in state government, which would work independently from the governor's office. When my proposal put the coordination level under the governor, reporting directly to the governor, because when you look at it, the governor is the chief advocate for the state, and in order to attract businesses, I think the governor needs to be fully aware and fully informed to make those decisions to bring businesses to the state.
Dan, if we made you Philosopher King, what would you do to bolster economic development in Rhode Island?
Well, if you look at the proposals that are currently on the table, you look at sort of the House leadership proposal, you look at Rep. O'Neill's proposal, and then you look at what the governor's office sort of wants, including also the Senate wants. I think that what certainly the House would say, the House leadership would say, is they think that their plan is the most practical and the one that has the best shot of being passed. I don't even know that they would say it's the absolute saving grace for Rhode Island. But I think that having a Secretary of Commerce is an idea that they seem to think has a real shot at passing, and it's one of those you got to do something, I think, is what a lot of people say. You go around the state house so much, and that's what everybody says. We got to do something. And that may not be the best answer for Rhode Island, but it is probably a true thing.
And we're only, what, about 6 years into the recession? But, Scott, we know that the House leadership seems to be embracing many of the recommendations from the Rhode Island Public Expenditure Council, create someone who is more single-mindedly focused on economic development. Do you think that's a good idea?
Yeah, probably, but don't expect there to be any overnight change. First of all, Marcel Valois has just been appointed the head of the EDC. He had a pretty good run in a previous tenure there in the 1990s when Lincoln Allman was governor. Maybe we ought to give him 10 minutes to see what he can do before we start reorganizing the department, first of all. Secondly, there's short-term things you can do. Then there's long-term things. I mean, one of Rhode Island's big problems, and nobody likes to talk about this, is that compared to our neighbors in New England, we have an undereducated workforce. I look around New England, there's two economies. There's a 21st century economy with innovation and young people, the 495, 128 belts around Boston. And then there's this economy of the old mill towns, the Woonsockets, the Blackstone Valleys, the Lowells, the Lawrences, New Bedford, Fall River, where we don't have educated workforce and we don't seem to have found an engine to create jobs. Now that the textile industry, electronics, and these manufacturing plants have gone away.
Let's go with a few questions for our special guest, Representative O'Neill. I'll kick it off. Rep, you were formerly a House Minority Whip, a member of House Speaker Fox's leadership team. You broke with him over 38 studios when Fox was facing a tough re-election fight. Former Rep Bob Watson was the only rep who actually voted against the 38 studio, the money to expand the EDC loan program that wound up going to 38 studios. So were you trying to have it both ways on 38 studios?
When you I have these issues in front of you, and I would agree with the speaker when, you know, something needed to be done about creating this guarantee program. It seemed like a good program. There were specific questions that were asked about this in leadership meetings and on the floor of the House that is this going to be all eggs in one basket? We were told time and time again that it was not going to be all eggs in one basket. And it still bothers me to my core that we were on that House floor debating that exact point with Keith Stokes asking representatives to pull amendments to cap the no more than $10 million to one company. And that amendment, you know, eventually was pulled, never voted on, knowing that there were some people on that House floor who knew all of this was going to go to one company. That bothers me and will bother me for as long as I'm in politics.
Let's go to Scott.
I'm just wondering, the same-sex marriage legislation, Rep. O'Neill, what have you heard from your constituents? What kind of reaction have you had?
Thank you. That's my district in the Oak Hill section of Pawtucket is pretty progressive area. They from the moment I ran, they knew I was in support of marriage equality. I've just gotten a it was a very proud day at the State House, one of the proudest days I've had up there. And whether I was on leadership team or not, and not taking credit, it was just great to be a part of, and something I supported since the day I was elected. So every once in a while, it's nice to hear a thank you from your constituents.
Let's go to Dan.
One of the big questions on Smith Hill right now is what to do with the Superman building in Providence. Now, you're a Pawtucket representative. How do you look at your constituents in the face and tell them that you would support a, $39 million state package, or can you not support something like that?
Yeah, that's an easy one for me. The biggest – one of the reasons I broke rank in October and resigned as a majority whip was a lack of information and a lack of us working together. This Superman building is – I would absolutely agree with everybody that it is an iconic building. We should look at all factors, all things that we could do to try to make that building survive. The issue is – We've heard different stories about the governor approaching the owner and saying he wants to put state offices in there, and the owner says, no, thank you. He wants to build, and I understand there's an aspect of making money, but at the same time, I can't go back to my constituents and say we're floating all this money so this person can make money, and I don't necessarily agree with the idea that people are going to flock down here to live to step out of the front door in the Kennedy Plaza. There's a whole thing that needs to be done about the neighborhood down there, and I just think there's going to be more information. And it just seems like this. We're talking about the Superman building, but there's no proposals. No one, and I just hope that when the budget's unveiled in the next couple of weeks, that there's not a mystery article in the budget dealing with the Superman building.
So you would oppose a public subsidy?
Not necessarily. I mean, right now, yes, I would. But I'm not against economic development of that building if it's the right thing for taxpayers and we're spending money smartly.
We're out of time, so I have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us on Roundtable. Scott.
Thank you.
Dan McGowan from WPRI TV, Channel 12.
Thanks so much for having me.
And State Representative J. Patrick O'Neill, Democrat of Pawtucket. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at ripr.org.